Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday. No, I'm sorry. It's Thursday morning. It's
Thursday.
It's got to be Thursday. It's a stew day. It's Thursday. And let me introduce our panel to you in just a second. First, let me welcome you rather to the program and also invite you, was the word I was looking for, invite you to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And you can also go to our Facebook page, go to our Twitter page. You can go to WAMC.org/roundtable. A lot of ways that you can get in touch with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. With that said, let me introduce the panel. Most of them are here. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joseph. I love your shirt. Anybody who wants to see it can just go to WAMC.org and watch us, right?
That's right.
It's red, white, and blue.
And you also, yeah. It's sort of checkered, and your shirt, Stu, is sort of bluish.
Bluish squares. And oldish and whitish.
Bluish. I'm very bluish.
Emphasis on oldish.
It's, you know, but it's the young heart inside. It's a young heart inside. We're also going to welcome Libby Post, a political consultant extraordinaire, who will join us in just a moment. The Media Project just let out, mm-hmm. and Stu and Rex Smith.
Rex Smith of the Times Union.
And Alan, of course, were part of the the Media Project, mm-hmm. taping, and Libby had some business to discuss, so she's in now.
I'm here.
Good morning. How
Good morning.
Are you all?
I'm
place
just
of business.
All right.
Your business.
It's always business.
It's your business.
It's always business.
Oh, and look, we're out of time. It's already lunchtime.
Oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Let's get to business and talk about what is going on and find out how you, what everyone thinks about these issues. I'm a bit torn here because I know we have to talk about Skillis, but I want to talk about Deflategate. Oh, my goodness.
Let's do that first.
Deflategate. Well, let's do it. It's very important.
Right.
Well.
Let me put it this way. If you ask people.
Do you have two hats on?
Yes. I wear many hats. But
he is a man of many hats.
But if you were, I mean, if you ask the American people, who's Brady? Who is what's the football Deflategate? They're going to know it, right?
Absolutely.
You ask anybody who Dean Skelos is.
No one's going to know.
Probably not.
Not even many in Albany who work for the guy.
Probably not.
Unless you throw a spiral that we don't know about.
He operates under the radar.
Well, and it also goes to show what's really important to the American psyche: football, not politics.
So. Well, wasn't it Marx who said something about the proletariat?
Yes.
But here's
right.
the
but
here's
not football.
The stories are actually quite similar. Similar in my mind.
Right. Absolutely.
Scandal.
Great point. And what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, and look, I've certainly made this known. I am a huge New England Patriots fan. I am a huge Tom Brady fan. I am woefully disappointed in this. I am crushed by this. I think it's horrible. I think there should be grave penalties. And it because it's just ridiculous. Now, am I surprised by it? No, because
not from the Patriots.
After his press conference, after Tom Brady's press conference, where he just sort of flumped his way through it, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, the guy's guilty. Now, I had no proof. Well, now we have some proof.
Well, that he was generally aware.
Now, the one
must have been.
Now, that's the one thing. And Alan, this is for you. This is the one thing
sure.
that the one part of this story that I don't quite like. Which is the NFL sort of having it both ways.
Yes.
Like,
as usual.
Right.
Bingo.
Of saying, you know, we think they're aware, we can't prove. If we had to make a guess, we would say yes, we don't. And it's really, really lame. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything definitive. It's just enough to taint the team. It's just enough to taint this player. And I think if you're going to do it, then for God's sake,
prove it.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And don't just put out there, well, we think because of this, 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 and this.
Like
and I come out of that thinking, oh, okay. Wait, I'm sickened by it. But by the same token, I'm also sickened by the NFL and sort of their namby-pamby way.
Well, this is going to be the test. This is going to be the test. Is that sort of qualifier that Tom Brady was, quote, generally aware is the phrase.
Okay, stop.
Is that enough to create the doubt?
You people just stop right there, because there are at least four people out there who don't know what the story is about, which is that the football was underinflated.
That the NFL, purposely. The NFL has come out with a report saying that the allegations that before the Super Bowl that the New England Patriots
playing against the Indianapolis Colts on January 18th,
indeed.
A game that David Gesina and I attended.
Oh my! Oh. Well,
okay, but
we were at a very famous game.
Oh my goodness.
We did not notice.
Mm-hmm.
That the balls were
a little softer than
but
than
we weren't
usual.
Really looking at that.
Right. The balls were had slightly less air in them that is required by the NFL, ostensibly to let Tom Brady, and this was only apparently the balls used by the Patriots, not
that's
the Colts.
That's my question.
That
I mean,
apparently
come on.
So, to give Tom Brady a better grip on the ball. And the NFL now is going to have to basically decide, okay, is a penalty warranted? Is this clear-cut enough? Or is there going to be a namby-pamby response from the NFL because of, frankly, a very qualified, generally aware answer? Was this done or not? And who told who to do what?
It's just like when they said the guy who hit his wife in the elevator really didn't hit his wife. I mean, you know, it's they turn a blind
eye. The Ray Rice case.
Right, the Ray Rice, thank you. I keep thinking Ray Lewis, but Ray Rice. I mean, they keep turning a blind eye to this stuff. What's going to happen is that some poor guy, I was going to say something else, okay, more colorful, in the locker room who did this. He's the one who's going to get
pinned. Well, he should.
Pinned. Yes, he should. But Tom Brady should, too. And Bob Kraft should, too.
Well,
I don't disagree. And Bill Belichick.
I don't disagree.
Well, they said Belichick apparently did not know.
Yeah,
they also said Robert Kraft did not know.
Right.
What I do, and I agree with you, Libby. Here's the one part about this, though. And you're absolutely right. But if you're going to play the game, and you know this as a political consultant, it's what you say. So if you want to come out and have a report that says we have inconclusive evidence, we can't prove it one way or another, that's one thing. If you come out and you say that Brady was at least generally aware of the inappropriate activities.
How vague can you be?
Come on.
Right. It's a non-denial.
Be specific here. So Roger Goodell is now on the clock, folks. What's he going to do?
Right, and maybe this is what will change. Maybe this is what will bring him down, you know, because clearly domestic violence within the league isn't going to do it. And, you know, that football is, like, so important to the American psyche, and I can only imagine what this is doing to so many folks out there who believe in Tom Brady and believe in the Patriots. And how long has this been going on for, number one?
Well, this is not new, because if you look at the annals of sports, and if you know baseball, the name Gaylord Perry, who would put Vaseline on a baseball to make it move differently, and that was considered illegal, but no one did anything about
they
it.
You
scuffed a baseball to make it move differently, or the famous Oakland Raiders with Stick'Em, using illegal substances on their hands so it'd be easier to catch a football. All these little advantages. There's nothing new about this in sports.
Well, our friend our friend Andy Borowitz wrote a piece in The New Yorker, which says
you
the headline...
You know that's satire, right?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Which the headline says, NFL sentences Brady to a year with the Jets.
The Jets would love that. The Jets would drool for that.
Yeah, right.
Well, and here's the other thing. So,
or in a room with Rex Ryan.
And then they're saying, well, do you take away the Super Bowl? Well, okay,
they're not going to do that.
Well, no, and also it's how they got there. They still won the game. They still won the game, and the balls were properly inflated. Then, my God, by then they were, you know, every
perfect.
5 seconds taking their temperature. I don't know what you do.
The pressure.
That's right.
Squeezing the ball.
But
I'm not going there.
Yeah, please don't. I
shouldn't
it.
Have either. Sorry.
And Alan, we thank you. But. I don't know. It just seems to me, I wish, and Stu, correct me if I'm wrong here, but are we any further in this than we were on January 20th when this story broke?
No.
And we're at the same point where it could have been, should have been, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But
know.
How can
it's a qualified answer.
Look, guys, if the league comes out with their lawyer group or whoever did this report and says they could have been, should have been, we would have been, we could have.
Right.
That's not proof of anything. They
absolutely
could have been.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They don't
5 months
proof.
Later.
So how does Goodell then take it and punish somebody for would have been, could have been?
Well, I don't know.
Because that's all he's got. this is what he has to base his decision on. And they commissioned this report.
Look what Preet Bharara is doing with everybody in government. It's all would have been, could have been, should have been, might have been.
Until you have
bank receipts,
it's all about taking people down.
I was thinking the analogy is between the steroids. Because that was cheating. That's why we've defined this as cheating.
And this is cheating.
And theoretically, this is cheating too. But the steroids, they had testimony, they had guys in the clubhouse, they had evidence.
It took a while, though.
Yeah, well, but they did in the end, and that's what they proceeded on. Here, you could have known.
Yeah. I think Preet Bharara needs to look into the New England Patriots.
Okay. There we go. A new job. Although
when you're done with Albany,
it's out of his
the U.S.
district.
Attorney.
Right.
And on top of all this, I don't think I have the story wrong, but Barry Bonds has been cleared. Is that true?
Yeah, that came out a couple of days ago.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, for years and years, this man was tarnished.
True.
With allegations that he was a player that regularly used steroids. And so then finally, after investigation after investigation after investigation after investigation, they came out and they cleared him.
Well, I don't know if they cleared him of actually using the steroids. I think it was more of a legal thing. But I think there's in many circles not much of a doubt that Mr. Bonds perhaps used substances he might not have wanted to.
And meanwhile, you have Alex Rodriguez still playing with the New York Yankees
and doing very well.
And it's to the point of, well, what are we going to put up with? What are we not going to put up with?
And who gets elected to the Hall of Fame? In other words, I think the thing that Barry Bonds was really guilty of was ticking off the sports writers because they didn't like him. He gets the worst kind of treatment in all of this. And then aren't they the ones, I don't know anything about this, Stu, who gets into the Hall of Fame?
Baseball Writers Association of America votes for Hall of Fame members. And then you have Pete Rose.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean,
it was bet on himself.
Well, on himself, on his team, in direct written violation of hundreds of years, many, many decades of baseball stance, since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, professional sports is far from pure, folks, whether it's Tom Brady and his footballs or Gaylord Perry and his spitballs with the San Francisco Giants in the 60s. Sports is just not pure.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll move on to other topics. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local, Native American, and fairly traded work, theBlueMarble.biz. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, an organic, natural, local grocery since 1978, with handcrafted, locally made gifts, perfumes, lotions, and more for Mother's Day, Sunday, on Facebook and sunflowernatural.com. And Autobahn Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of imports, specializing in late model Volkswagen, Audi, and BMW. AutobahnTechnic.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel and to our wonderful group this morning, Libby Post, Dushinsky, Alan Chartok, who is going to read us some letters.
Okay.
That will bring us into our break.
I am. And remember that I sort of have to read them and think about it and do it. And it's
Libby, do it.
Libby, I don't know how much you pay attention to sports, but this doesn't change how I feel about Brady. He's still one of the greatest of all times. Deflating the footballs just doesn't change 15 years of greatness. It isn't the same as steroids in baseball, and then he goes on, but I'm not. And Jim says, what I find most disturbing are the texts between Brady and the locker room guys. It sounded like bribes and extortion. I have no idea what he's talking
well,
about.
Well, they printed a series of emails between a trio of guys, Tom Brady and these two guys, the one who's actually accused of deflating the balls and another guy who is in charge of that guy, I guess, or sort of the intermediary between Brady. And what they do is if you have the Alan Chartok Foundation and you want to auction off a signed Tom Brady football,
right,
then you would go to this guy and he would have it signed. Well, so that was sort of what they were doing. And under that guise, they were taking the balls and putting them aside. And while they were doing that, they were deflating them.
Yeah, one of the guys actually called himself. He referred to himself as the deflator.
Yes.
I love what Lou just said. Okay.
Okay.
And I mean,
just to be clear, yeah, I do watch professional football. I do know what's going on. And I also watch professional baseball. I just want to be clear, I watch neither. Right.
Irene said the Patriots, Skelos, Goodell, Brady, Chris Christie all need punishment. And they are not good role models. And Michael says, well, one good thing about the scandal in Albany, we're all learning who's there. I, for one, was completely ignorant of state politics. P.S., it's Nurses Week. Let's send kudos out to all those frontline professionals who have touched all our lives. He's absolutely right about that. Maybe the most important thing said today, Parker says, Austin says, the preferred appellation is Bulgazi.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Ooh, instead of Deflategate.
Thump. Yeah. Thump. Yeah. Rich says,
ball guys.
Rich says, the Pats are a manipulative team, the crooks of the most crooked. They do the most illegal things, and the penalty is next to nothing. And then, I think after that it's all good.
That cleans the slate for you to write your letter, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We will return to our program right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 7th of May. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is in the house.
Yeah.
Stu Shinsky is here as well.
Good morning.
Of the Poughkeepsie Journal. Made his way up the thruway. We couldn't be more happy. And, of course, Libby Post, who is our is a political
our
consultant.
Our football fan.
Is our regular panelist filling in today, and we thank you very much.
Who made it all the way in from Menands. I just want you to know.
I appreciate your efforts.
Hey.
The Menands Express.
You do whatever you can do, and I thank you for that.
To make it happen.
That's right. We welcome you to roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. So let's move on to, we were talking about the Tom Brady New England Patriots affair, and we brought up Dean Skelos a couple of times
because there are connections.
The two stories that came out yesterday in this matter, and because we are completists, we want to make sure that we pass this on as well. Democrats walked out of the New York State Senate in protest on Wednesday after Republicans blocked their effort to oust the majority leader following his arrest on federal corruption charges. It was a tempestuous scene, according to the New York Times. With Senator Skelos absent from the chamber, his colleagues squabbled over parliamentary procedures, clarified the proper terminology to describe the senator's legal troubles. Isn't it indicted? Is that not arrested?
No. He was arrested, and I don't think he was indicted. Remember, Silver got indicted way later.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But he was arrested.
Right. And there's also
he has been under investigation.
And they don't use grand juries, apparently. I mean, I may be wrong about this, but I think they use what's called an information. They just put out, the charges from the U.S. attorney.
Okay, so there's...
What Skelos calls a press release.
Yes, a press release.
There
a 73-page press release.
There is that story, and then there is also, we have finally heard from Governor Andrew Cuomo on this matter. Several days after the arrest, the governor called the criminal charges against Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos disturbing, if true, but declined to say if he should step down.
You know, it's a very interesting story about Cuomo here. Look, you really have to be a wonderful appreciator of his technique. First of all, he makes sure that the Republicans are elected. How does he do this? He refuses to, which he campaigned on, to take a bill and veto it, which allowed them to draw their own districts in the great American democracy. And he said he would do it, and he didn't do it. Therefore, they got themselves elected by one or two extra votes. So they did that, right?
Well, let's not forget the Independent Democratic Caucus.
And then there was this IDC thing, the Independent Democratic Caucus, sometimes called by some cynics the traitors, who left the Democrats and who went over to do business with the Republicans for those guys, and on and on. His father liked the Republicans being in office, also because what happened was he could be more of a moderate that way, and he wouldn't have to take the brunt for vetoing unwise bills or doing other things. So he's responsible for that. So today he comes out and he says, this is a third branch of government. I don't fool with them, even though I formed the Moreland Act Commission, which was supposed to go after them and all the rest. But parenthesis, I got to work with these guys. So you can't expect me to say mean things about them. That's what I have to say about that.
You know, in Albany, every day it seems to be a new scandal. The question is, let's remove the names for a moment. And how do we get past the point of whether or not this person should or should not be in a leadership position? Here is my simple yet effective solution that will never, ever happen. They should pass a law that says if you are arrested or indicted and you're in a leadership position, you must step down. Now, maybe it takes effect 3 years from now
arrested,
or five from
but arrested for drunk driving or arrested and indicted for corruption?
If you're facing criminal charges.
Criminal charges.
Felony charges?
Criminal charges.
Okay.
Now, above a misdemeanor, perhaps. I'm not a lawyer. I can't write laws. I can write common sense. There needs to be a way to remove somebody... remove somebody from, in essence, this powerful position when he's facing indictment from the U.S. attorney, and there's no mechanism.
But
there's got to be an answer here.
But, Stu, in all honesty, and you know how I respect you.
Here it comes, Stu.
But you know how I respect you. I can see all kinds of complications with that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, what if, somebody in law enforcement decides they want you out of there? Now, theoretically, in this American democracy, we have a rule of thumb, which is you're not guilty until you're guilty, right? You're
innocent until proven
guilty. Thank you, Joe. And you're innocent until proven guilty. So that is not a very good plan, I think.
Let's just make it then corruption, as Libby
notes. If you're found guilty.
Yeah,
if you're found guilty of corruption, you need to be out. You need to lose your pension.
We already have that.
Right. You need to go.
Well, and what is wrong with, I'm going to go with Stu here on this and say, well, what's wrong with.
Just indicted?
Step aside.
No. I'm just saying, not to say that you can't have the position back, but to step aside until you clear everything up.
Are you kidding? Do you think whoever comes into that seat is going to say, oh, everything's fine now, you can have it back? That's not going to happen because they want the power to.
Sure.
Okay, well, that's their
problem. Come on.
You're right. I disagree with you, Joe, and I disagree with you, Stu.
That's okay.
And the reason I disagree
with you. That's what makes America great. We can still disagree.
You're not being found guilty of anything, and the presumption is of guilt. And therefore, you have to step aside. And for the very reasons that Libby just said, when Senator Bonacek or somebody else moves into that position, you think you're going to get him out of there?
Yeah, he's not going to.
Here's the slight difference from where I think where Stu stands and where I stand.
Yeah,
I think Stu is looking for some sort of legislative action that says this should happen. I believe that these people should just be embarrassed to look at themselves in the mirror, whether they're guilty or not, and for the good of government, step aside.
Agreed.
Well, then you don't know the class of people we're dealing with.
Well, I know.
There just has to be a better system than all these press releases that immediately so-and-so says that he should step out or step aside. And honestly, it's just a huge suck-up of energy. And should a guy who is facing an arrest from a U.S. attorney and a confidence issue and an accuracy issue and a trust issue, he's still in charge. Fine. Let him step aside, get it fixed, and then we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
In the meantime, someone has to run New York State government.
This is where term limits come in. And I have to say, I'm becoming more of a fan of term limits where I wasn't before. But if we had term limits, these guys would not be able to get so entrenched. Skillos has been there since forever, just like Shelley was there for a very, very long time, 30 years, whatever it is. You know, I mean, there needs to be some endemic changes like that. And if you think these guys are going to police themselves...
Yes,
you've got
again.
Another thing coming.
We
right,
see that they don't.
Right, and they're not going to
right.
Because ultimately there are two rules for an elected official. Get elected, get reelected, and to keep and maintain your power, and that's it.
What class did you learn that in? Okay, so...
oh, actually, Shirley Gordon taught me that.
Right. Okay, but Joe,
go right ahead.
But Joe, I want to point something out, if I may, as the reader of the letters.
Yes,
okay?
yes.
Do you have letters to read?
We have yet to get one about Dean Skelos and New York State government, but we have four new ones on the underinflated football.
It's because nobody cares.
Oh, they care about the football.
Yeah, they care about the football. And what's interesting is we got a lot of letters about Shelley Silver. We did.
Well, Silver is a much better known name than Skelos is.
Well, Skelos is smart enough to stay under the radar.
Yeah, but also, aren't we like...
Is the second time two majority leaders in a row have been indicted.
No, four out of the last five.
I know,
have
but
been
I'm
indicted.
Talking about in my. Well, I'm talking about Bruno Skelos.
Okay, but I'm still saying four out of the five.
Who,
so people aren't supposed to be. We had the list the other day.
But wait a second. Let's assume for a second that you're right, Libby. You just raised a very interesting name, which is Joe Bruno, after whom the football field is named, right?
And okay. Baseball field, yes.
And he was found
not guilty. Right.
Well, if you're found not guilty, anybody who's out there who is listening to the show says that if on the basis of an accusation, I got to give up my job at the tire factory, or I got to do all of this just because I've been accused.
They're not in public service, though. This is public service.
Well, yes, but I don't understand.
No, it's true, but it's public service, taxpayer funded.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with it? They're
supposed to live up to a higher standard.
A jury of his peers said he didn't do it. Don't you get it?
He has given
up everything, millions of dollars in defense funds and stuff. Now, do I believe...
And the state reimbursed, by the way. New
that's
York state.
True.
Yes.
Which I don't
Most
like.
Of it.
Which I don't like because if
We're
any of us gets
it.
Into trouble,
right.
We don't get that deal.
That's true.
So, okay. Maybe this is an apples and oranges comparison. I don't know. Brian Williams... has missed truths. We have tape.
Mm-hmm.
We see it. They do an internal investigation. They take the guy off the air. He's not in charge of the news anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They take the guy off the air for a temporary period of time. Now, that is in a corporate culture. So why...
Under the guise of journalistic integrity. So why don't we have political integrity?
Yes.
Exactly right.
That's three on one side and the Shartak answer, you know, on the other, only because it's always fun to, you know.
Well, no,
joust.
But you agree with, like, you agree, like, you think that, I mean, I think you agree with us that that should be the case. You just don't think it can happen because it's who we're dealing with, right?
No. I thought that.
And I just think I thought, yeah, saw yeah. that thought leave.
No,
I'm afraid to think.
I think in the blind, everything is case by case. In the
absolutely.
Brian Williams case, aren't we pretty sure he did lie?
And so did Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Yeah, but what about...
Okay,
yeah.
And they're politicians, and they got off scot-free.
I love it when we have these discussions, and it's always... The defense always is, there are three other guys who did it, therefore that has to do with this guy.
Well,
it doesn't.
But the point is...
But
is
it's
that
the general...
They had tape, but he did not have his quote-unquote day in court. They were investigating it. That's why... And while the investigation was going on, they took him off the desk.
Uh-huh.
So, and again, it was for journalistic integrity. They're not saying they didn't take the job away from him. They may very well put him back. We do not know.
Yeah, apparently the president of the company wants him put back. That's what I read somewhere.
Well,
yeah.
Comcast, they're really very the pinnacle of journalistic integrity, let me tell you.
And Lester Holt just won a ratings period.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I think he's going to stay.
In. So, like so with all of that going on, that was my only point.
I just want to read something. Now, I said that we hadn't gotten any letters about Skelos.
Yes.
Now we
Julius,
do.
Our regular correspondent, took up the cudgels, and he said to Libby, term limits may reduce the extent of corruption, but also make the revolving door spin faster.
I get that.
But
I
wait,
understand.
I'm not
okay,
quite
fine.
Through with my
sorry.
Reaction to it.
Sorry.
No, and it's only that, of course, then you have to fix the revolving door.
Right.
You have to say, you cannot have another job immediately after, and we already have that, but you have to increase the number of years.
And we need campaign finance reform.
Yes.
If big money wasn't able to play such a big role in every level of government now, I think we would be in a much different position.
Yeah, I just think that government is not about the legislators. It's about the people. It's about public service. You got a guy here who's been arrested by the U.S. attorney. We'll find out if he's guilty. We'll find out if he's innocent. We'll find out if it was a sham. We'll find out if it's real. But in the meantime, New York State needs to operate. New York State needs to have some credibility. Okay. There's a point here where people need to start paying attention to Albany. And this is why they don't pay attention to Albany in part.
Let's take a break. Very passionate, Stu.
I try.
That. Yeah,
that's
a very nice.
But wrong!
But
and
wrong!
That's okay.
No,
that's okay.
All right.
No, that's okay.
Not wrong.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll figure out what's right and wrong, and we'll talk about it after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York. Plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. Surgeon's hands, woman's touch. 518-786-1700. Siegel Music Colony, Scroon Lake, New York. Celebrating 100 years, bringing music to the North Country in 2015 with performances and events June 20th through August 6th. SiegelColony.org for schedule. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or AlbanyMarriott.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. It is the 7th of May, and very nice to have you with us. Let's get to some letters, and then we'll get to a couple other topics as well.
Peter says, and quite profoundly, I agree with Alan completely.
Oh, that is that's
we don't
profound.
Have to go.
Very profound.
Oh my God.
An indictment is just an accusation. We don't punish people on the strength of accusations. That's what the Star Chamber was all about. We have moved past that.
Oh,
maybe.
The movie.
That was a movie, Alan.
What was a movie?
The Star Chamber.
No, but
that's what that reference was to.
No, the reference was to the Star Chambers that we used to have back in history. Don't you know? But don't you know? Okay. Presumption of innocence, says Jim. Although rare, I wholeheartedly agree with Alan. If a politician is found innocent, he should get his previous post back by law. Alan said it well. There's a presumption of guilt. If he gives up a seat, our entire society is based on the presumption of innocence. If he's found innocent, there should be a rule of law stating that everything should resort back to before the accusation was made. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so, and then what else you got here? Oh, yeah, Sean. So it says here, Sean. Bruno was guilty. After they rewrote the law and retried him, he was found innocent. 4. Alan Chartok, Chattok, to continually misrepresent the facts is traditional sentimentality and it says here, in black, B-L-A-C-K, poor, distasteful journalism. That's what he says. And That's okay. And then did we read John? No, we didn't. You can't fire somebody based on accusation. He's innocent until proven guilty. Plus, it's much more entertaining to watch New York State politicians flail in their utter inability to do the right thing. They just can't do it. It's laughable, says John. And like that. Okay, so that's what I got, Joe. Did you see anything else?
All right, we're good. Let's move on to we can either go to British elections or we can do Hillary's.
The British elections is interesting.
All right, let's do the British election story.
I was interesting.
They're today.
I was interested in coming in today.
A lot of finger pointing right now.
Thank you for the play-by-play.
Yes.
To listen to the BBC. Now, you know, the BBC is forbidden by law on the day of election to give any analysis about what the issues are. You're not allowed to do it.
Really?
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct. And they kept saying that over and over and over again, sort of giving the very fingers we're talking to the people who passed such a self-serving law. They said, you'll have to wait till tomorrow for us to talk about what some of the issues in the election are. Isn't that interesting?
It is. How is it self-serving? Doesn't that allow democracy to take hold as opposed to the ad nauseum, we have this exit poll, we're seeing this many people, there's this being done, can in some way manipulate the system.
Nobody said they couldn't talk about exit polls. They just can't talk about policy.
No, I don't think they can.
They can't talk about any of it? They
can't cover the election. So you have to ask the following question.
God.
Who's in charge when that bill got passed?
Yeah.
Is it Who thought that their ox was going to get gored? And Joe's right. In the common parlance, it's acceptable with the body politic. Why? Because they think it's fair that nobody corrupts the system. However, I can point out that
the
attention
they turn that off too.
Yeah, Twitter gone.
That the attention span of the common voter is not that great. And then when they get to that day, they say, well, what's this all about again?
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Somebody
what
can remind me.
What am I talking
me?
About?
Yeah.
All I know is that when you have something, and we only need to go back to the year 2000 and our presidential election, that I'm mighty glad that people were covering.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
sure.
Covering what was going on.
Yeah.
So, and not to say that they're not covering it now, it's just that they can't actually report on it.
Thank God for Fox telling us what's going on.
Right.
Sardonic. Don't write me a letter. Go ahead.
Sarcastic. I'm good.
All right.
Let's go to Hillary.
Okay. Let's move on to Hillary. We go to a pair of stories on Hillary Clinton. One from the Washington Post, which writes about why income inequality is no silver bullet for Democrats and Hillary Clinton. The Democratic Party has renewed its focus on income inequality, hoping to ride a populist wave to a third straight term in the White House in 2016. In fact, it was the prevailing focus of Hillary Clinton's campaign launch. She said in her announcement video that the deck is stacked in favor of those at the top, echoing the tone of Senator Elizabeth Warren
and Bernie Sanders,
the Democrat from Massachusetts. Yes. And Bernie Sanders. And there's good reason for this message, says the Washington Post. Poll after poll shows a huge majority of Americans are concerned about income inequality. But another new poll suggests that the income inequality argument has its limits. According to the NBC Wall Street Journal poll asked Americans which concern them more, the income gap between the wealthiest Americans and the rest of the country, middle and working class Americans not being able to get ahead financially. In total, 28% chose number one, the income inequality argument, while 65% chose number two.
What's interesting to me is that they're one and the same. It's really about how you talk about it.
Well,
because as long as there's going to be such income inequality in this country, the working class and the middle class are never going to be able to get ahead.
Well, you're saying the working class, the poor, the working class, and the middle class in one voice. But the fact is that there was just a poll on Bill de Blasio in New York City. And what was found was that people of color and that Hispanics were wildly for de Blasio by huge margins. The middle class, not so much. And the people who had the most in this income inequality thing, of course, didn't like him very much.
Sure.
Okay, because that's the constituency that he's building. But in an election, even if you had a clear majority in the poll, That's not the way elections are won. What happens is that the people who are voting are quite frequently more, the people who are incentivized to vote are people with the most. It's that simple.
To protect
their
interests.
That's right.
Right. But and protecting what they have means not providing for people who need
that's
it the
right.
most.
Well,
and
that's
so
right.
it is sort of, it is the same argument. I mean, for people in the top 1%, the Koch brothers and all those folks, to rail against increasing the minimum wage so people who work at McDonald's can actually pay their rent is disgusting.
They always do that. They always do it. The rich crowd in where I live in Great Barrington is quite frequently coalesces, and then they say, we're doing this for the people. We're not going to allow their school to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow their school to be rebuilt because it's bad. It's squeezing out the middle class. They always invoke the middle class.
We have 2 minutes, and I want to just give you the opportunity, Alan, to just remind people about the lockbox.
Oh, please. It is so important. You know, all the kidding around that we have so much fun here in the morning. We're getting tons of listeners listening to this program. Really, it's unbelievable. And I'm very appreciative of all of that. But I have to say, none of this, not any of the stuff that we do, not Tanglewood, not the opera, none of this is possible without everybody doing something. And that's the important point, doing something. With regularity, we get a letter saying, I don't like this, so I'll not give you any money. And I've been listening for 25 years, and I've never given you a dime. You know, it's just, it makes me so sad. So in the end, please, WAMC.org, put something into the lockbox. We'll knock days off the fund drive. We can equal what we did the last time, and we had 3.5-day fund drive. It was magnificent. You all know it. Go to WAMC.org and put something into the box.
We're in the 80,000s, 85,000, I believe, and so obviously we're trying to get to inflate that number
to
375,000, and we need your help. And $125, you get the really cool
water bottle.
It's right. Old.
It's stainless
with
steel.
With your
stainless
name
steel,
on it,
with
right?
your name or whatever little phrase you want on there. There's a
that's cool.
Yeah, could be
worse.
Could be worse.
Says could be worse. Yes,
that's right. Words to live by, Stu. Words to live by. How do you know?
Story of my life.
And it's $125, and whatever you can do, WAMC.org. Libby Post, Stu Shinsky, Alan Chartok, thank you very, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you,
for
Alan.
All you do.
All right.
Thank you all. And thank you, dear listener.
And thank you all.
Alan was like eyeing the exits.
Thank you, NFL.
No, I was looking to see what's next. I have to do something next.
Next.
Please.
You're listening to the round. Oh, you know, we're going to hear Alan's interview with Chuck Schumer coming up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the next hour.
Cool.
That'll be very cool.
He was great.
That much more next on the roundtable.